Hi there. If we haven't met yet, my name is Lori. I'm the Family Ministries Director here, and I have the privilege of leading us in God's Word today. Today is the last day of the series we're in called Now What? And as we've studied the life and leadership of Moses and God's faithfulness to him and the Israelites when they were in the desert, something we can somewhat relate to as we find ourselves in a bit of a desert ourselves, something we call COVID-19 pandemic, right? But many of you have been following this series and have also seen Tessa. She is Mo, our music director's wife. She has been sharing her talents with us by posting home church notes. And these have been so cool and creative that we asked her if she'd be willing to draw for us as we open today and help us kind of recap our journey so far in this series. So thanks, Tessa, for doing that for us. Here we go. The Sunday right after Easter, Pastor Jeremy kicked us off with his teaching about how Moses' life was basically broken into three 40-year sections. He spent his first 40 years in Egypt, his next 40 years in the desert, learning to be a shepherd, then spends his final 40 years shepherding his people, the Israelites, in the desert. The point of the teaching was that what felt like a waste of time in the desert was actually formative. And when we feel stuck in the middle of the desert, it's actually in those difficult times that God is shaping and forming us. The next Sunday, Pastor Greg reminded us that the 40 years the Israelites spent in the desert, God was faithful. He led his people with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and that God often doesn't take the shortest, easiest route. God is less concerned about the destination and more concerned about our formation. And because God knows best, we can trust him, even in our struggling and waiting. The following Sunday, Pastor Jeremy shared how God provided just enough for the Israelites by providing manna to eat. Remember what manna means? That's right. What is it? And God was testing his people to see if they would trust him to provide just enough for them each day. A great reminder for us to trust that God will provide just enough for us too, and will be faithful to do it tomorrow as well. Mother's Day, Pastor Greg talked about how while Moses and the Israelites were experiencing the same thing, the Israelites took their grumbling sideways to a person, in this case, to Moses. But Moses took it vertical. He took his concerns to God in prayer. And we were encouraged to do the same, to be real with God and take our pain, our grief, and our sorrow, not sideways, but vertical to God, because he hears us, he knows us, and he sees every tear. Last week, Pastors Greg and Jeremy did a great job tag-teaming and living out the message by doing it with each other. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, shared some real wisdom with Moses, saying, "You can't do this alone," and suggested he let people in to help because it would be good not only for Moses, but for the people to use their gifts too. And that is so true of us. We are the body of Christ, and we make each other better and can do far more together than we can apart. We can be the light in this dark world when we be the church together. You know, this series has been really meaningful to me personally because this new normal we're in is hard. I've hated, and I realize that's a really strong word, but I have hated not being able to see and hang out and hug my friends and my family. My husband's business was shut down temporarily. I miss my team and I miss you, my church family, and I'm feeling done. I'm done with this season, and I'm guessing I'm not alone. Actually, I know that I'm not alone because some of you have said those very words to me. I'm done. I'm so over this. So here's the truth. We're not staying here forever. We're not going to home office forever. thank goodness. We're not going to have Zoom meetings forever. We're not going to have home church forever. We're going to survive this, and I hope we can be better because of it and remember some things that we saw God at work, his power, his trustworthiness. And that was actually Moses' final comments to his people. Today we find ourselves in the book of Deuteronomy and at the edge of the desert where the Dead Sea and the Jordan River connect. I want to invite you to open your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy. And so we've arrived in this spot, and we want to maybe put ourselves in the story a bit. And because this is where Moses will be able to see the land from Mount Nebo, but he won't be able to enter it. He will die there shortly after, and Joshua will lead the people across the Jordan River. So think about it. They're on their final leg. And I think it's probably more than safe to say that they're feeling done, which is when Moses shares his final words. This is the book of Deuteronomy. It's Moses' final message to his people before he passes away and they enter the promised land. The land that we're told in Deuteronomy 1 verse 2, that should have only taken them 11 days to get to. I am sorry, but that still blows my mind. Especially because I'm the take the fastest route kind of girl, and that's partly because I get car sick, but it's also because I'm a bit impatient, and I just want to arrive and enjoy the destination. So why did it take 40 years when it should have taken 11 days? Because like we just reviewed, there was some forming and shaping and relearning that needed to happen. The Israelites spent 430 years in Egypt. 11 days was not going to cut it for them to break habits and encounter God for who he is and experience transformation. That takes time. Speaking of time, I want to encourage you to take time this week to read the book of Deuteronomy. It's so good. As we hear Moses recapping their 40-year journey and calling the people to remember what the Lord has done for them and to trust and obey him as they live in this new land that they're about to possess. Our key word for the day is remember. Everyone at home, say that with me out loud. Remember. Nice. In other words, don't forget. What do you do when you forget something? Maybe you write yourself a note, tie something on your finger, set a reoccurring event on your calendar. My husband has our anniversary etched inside his wedding band, so he remembers our anniversary. What is it for you? I want to invite you to open your Bibles if you haven't already, or your Bible app, and join me in reading Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 10, where Moses isn't necessarily giving us tips on how to remember, but he's telling us what to remember. So starting with verse 1 in chapter 8, if you join me, it says, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." Verse 6, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs gushing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. So a couple of things that really stand out to me here is in verse 4, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. God met their every need. Not to be confused with wants, but their every need was met because of God's compassionate heart toward them. Backing up a little bit further in verse 3, it says that God humbled them, causing them to hunger and then feeding them with manna. Why? Why did God do that? Well, I think it definitely was not to help them learn how to ration food or learn how to manage their hangriness. It was to teach them to trust God, to fully depend on him. You guys got to remember here that they left a place of abundance, and God was saying, I don't want you to rely on your abundance anymore. I don't want you to rely on the fields or anyone else. I want you to rely on me. It is I that provides for you. It is I that sustains you. And every time I do, let it strengthen your faith to remember my faithfulness. Remembering helps us rely on God. I wonder what lessons God is teaching you in this season. What are you going to remember about his faithfulness? Maybe you're a mom and you've taken on a new job that you didn't really want on top of your many others, and you're now a teacher. And you're going to look back at this time and remember the ways God gave you grace and patience with your children. Maybe you didn't do it perfectly. Maybe it wasn't every time, but you're going to remember God's presence in some moments. Or maybe you lost your job that was directly affected and you're struggling to make ends meet, and you're going to remember the ways God provided for you, including that friend who brought over a bunch of groceries. Or perhaps you find yourself really lonely these days. You're a young single or maybe a widow, really experiencing isolation, and you're going to remember that text that came at just that right time, or that grandchild who brightened your day by calling to say hi just when you needed it most. Whatever your story, you had something, we had something in abundance, and now we find ourselves, like the Israelites, depending on God more than ever. You know, what God spoke through Moses was that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's as if he is saying, turn your cravings, your deepest longings, whatever they are, in my direction. Don't crave what's going to keep you craving. So many things we crave don't really satisfy, do they? But crave every word that comes from my mouth, God says. Crave me. Commit your life to me. Crave every good thing from me, because I am your provider. I am your sustainer. Remember these things. Remember. The verse we read today, and throughout the whole book of Deuteronomy, we read these words, remember. Don't forget. And I didn't go through and count all the times it said it, but trust me, it is a lot throughout the book of Deuteronomy. You know what? Here's a fun challenge for you kids watching. Read the book of Deuteronomy this week and circle all the times that you read, remember, and don't forget. And if you email me with your parents' help, how many times you see those two phrases in the book of Deuteronomy, and what is maybe one thing you want to remember about this season? I will personally buy you a candy bar. So there's your challenge. Friends, let's take a look at one more verse, or one more section, I should say, in Deuteronomy, where we find those words. Here's what God said through Moses in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses is reminding the people here again to remember what God has done and to love him with all of your heart. Impress these things on your children. He's putting the responsibility to remember and pass on stories of faith on parents. You as a parent and I as a parent to my kids, we're the ones that are intended to be the primary spiritual leaders of our children because we're with them the most every day, right? It's in the everyday rhythms of life. What did the Bible say again? It said to talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. I think what's key here is to use the context of daily life to talk about God. Make it part of your everyday experience. And when we do that, it's teaching our family to remember God and see him in all aspects of our life. I often talk about these verses in our infant baptism class, which is so fun and a privilege to lead these young families in. And I ask the question, so what does that look like really in real life? And well, it looks like when you're in the car with your teenager, being a taxi anyway, you talk about Jesus, share a story, or talk about where you've seen him at work lately. Maybe you pray together for an ambulance that just flew by with their sirens on. Maybe it looks like when you're out for a walk with your toddler and you talk about God and how he created all those beautiful flowers you're walking by and the busy ants that you see on the sidewalk. It's at bath time, talking about who made our bodies fearfully and wonderfully. Maybe even sharing a Bible story with some tub toys. You know, if we simply tweak what we're already doing and just be intentional with integrating conversations about Jesus, remembering where he has been faithful and impressing truths on our children. And the good news is we're not alone. While we're the primary, you know, responsibility, others have influence and responsibility too. It's grandparents, it's aunts, it's uncles, it's all of us as a church family. Every time an infant baptism happens, right? We're making the promise to help kids remember God and what he's done and how much they're loved by him. You know, for as many times as Moses says, remember, don't forget, I picture being in a car with a rear view mirror, and the mirror enables us to see and keep an eye on what's behind us. And remembering what's back there actually helps guide us in going forward. Let me share one of the ways that this has looked in my own life, something that I kind of look back in that rear view mirror and I remember, and it helps guide me still today. I was blessed with an amazing grandma and grandpa, and I grew up with, you know, the rest of my family. We were less than a mile away from my grandparents, so I was at their house a lot. And grandpa would take me and my cousins bowling and golfing and buy us Hershey bars. Grandma was the most hospitable person I had ever met, always offering a drink and a snack if you popped in, even if it was just saltines and butter. I look back and I remember their genuine joy on their faces. Like every time they saw me, I could hear their joy and the way they said hi to me, the way they read the Bible and prayed with me, all those times we shared pancake lunches together. I remember the way that they spoke to each other with honor and respect and the way they truly cherished each other and put each other's needs before their own. I look back and it's really no wonder why when Dennis and I started dating years and years ago, why we had so many pizza and card nights with them. It was so fun. You know, I want to be like them. Their words as well as how they lived, because they looked an awful lot like Jesus. And looking back and remembering them inspires me still today. Friends, listen, faith looks both directions. And forgetting where we were in this season or even childhood experiences like I just shared, places where God has been so good and faithful, if we forget those, it leads us back to what was, not where God is forming us to become. And that was Moses' concern for his people when they were about to possess this new land and start a new chapter in their lives. He has just spent his final 40 years with them, and it wasn't easy. But we get a sense when we read the book of Deuteronomy that he loved them deeply. And I find it to be such a warm message, full of wanting good and God's best for them. In some ways, we're nearing the end of the desert, this season of quarantine, and in his perfect timing, it will end, and we'll be at the edge of entering into a new land, a new chapter. Let's take heed to these words of wisdom from Deuteronomy. It's so important for us to carry the lessons we learn and know that we can trust God with confidence moving forward by remembering where we've been and where he's been faithful. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness. We're thankful for all the ways that you've been present in our life and all the ways that you have been working through us and all around us in our childhood as well as in this recent season. God, we thank you for your promises and that you keep every single one of them. You promise to never leave us or forsake us. You promise to be our firm foundation and our solid rock. You are faithful, God, now and forever. Amen.